And tonight, our main speaker is Patty.
Hi, my name is Patty. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Patty.
Can I move this down a little? My sobriety date is June 10, 2002. My home group is White Rose Speakers Group. We meet Friday night at 8 o'clock in York, Pennsylvania. It's the best group in Pennsylvania, so if you're ever there on a Friday night, stop in by. I do have a position there. I am the speaker getter. I have a sponsor. He knows he is my sponsor. I have the honor and privilege of sponsoring others. And now that I got that all out of the way, I hope God kicks in, because I'm a little... I wasn't nervous till just now. And I know I only have a half an hour, so I'm going to be very limited on my drunk log. But I started drinking at the age of 14. I wish I would have started in kindergarten, because my life was hard in kindergarten. But I do remember my first drunk. I was 14 years old, and I was born and raised in New Jersey. Me and my best friend cut school to go to Jersey City to her cousin's house. And what happened that day, I experienced my very first spiritual experience. I started drinking. I became comfortable in my own skin. I could look you in the eyes. I could care less what you thought about me. I immediately became extremely seductive. My clothes came off, and I went into a blackout. And that's how I drank from the very beginning to the very end. Except towards the end, I wasn't so seductive, but I was definitely naked. And that is the truth. And I found something that day that made me feel so free. Obviously, if I was naked, you know what I mean? I chased it, you know? I was a daily drinker from the very beginning. I had to. It was the only thing that made me feel whole and complete, even if it was just for a brief moment. And, of course, I would overshoot the mark. I wound up, you know, in a blackout naked. But I found something that worked, and I chased it. And I was a daily drinker, and I got in a lot of trouble. And what happens throughout my life, I drank for 23 years. Throughout the next 23 years, every time my life became very unmanageable, what I think I would need is a baby, you know. At the age of 18, I felt my life was a mess, and I felt if I just have a baby, I'd be okay. I'd have a reason and purpose for living, you know. And so that's what I did. I set out to get pregnant, found a really dumb guy, and I got pregnant, you know. And then by the time I'm pregnant with my third daughter, I cannot stop drinking, you know what I mean? And every day I get up and I try so hard not to drink. And I promise myself I'm not going to drink, and every day I wind up in a blackout. You know what I mean? And I try, and I promise myself every night I'm not going to drink, and every night I'm in a complete drunken mess blackout, you know? And what happens is I have a priest bless the baby in my stomach, because I was raised Catholic, and I have holy water blessed by the Pope that I put on my stomach every day, and I have prayer services going on all over the country. And I could do all those things, but I can't stop drinking. And the day she came, I was terrified to have her, because I was able to stop drinking with my first two pregnancies. And and I'm terrified to have her, because I don't know what I did to her. My best friend came with me. When the doctor went to hand me the baby, I wouldn't take her, because I was scared. They handed her to my best friend, and when I see my best friend smile, I knew that baby was okay. And I got to tell you, I knew I was powerless over alcohol. I knew it. Every day, I tried so hard to stop drinking, every day. And every day, I wound up drunk, you know? And I knew my life was unmanageable. My life has been unmanageable since the age of 14. And it's not all the DUIs I had and all the states I lived in and all the husbands I had, none of that stuff, not all that unmanageability. It's all the stuff that goes on the inside. It's all the stuff they talk about on page 52 of the big book, you know? My personal relationships were a mess. I was prey to misery and depression. I was filled with fear. I couldn't seem to make a living. All that stuff was going on. But it took me many years after that to concede to my innermost self I was alcoholic, like it talks about on page 30 of the big book. And I wound up marrying another guy, the father of my two youngest daughters. And we're living in Georgia. And I'm going to go straight up to the end of my drinking, because I have a lot of cool stuff that happened in sobriety. And so towards the end of my drinking, I'm living in Georgia, and I'm a mess. I'm a complete mess. And I've been married twice, and never act like a married woman. And my ex-husband, my husband at the time, is not impressed with me, you know, because I'm having an affair again, you know. And he comes home from work, and he drags me from the kitchen, and he drags me into the bedroom, and he gets on top of me, and he strangles me till I pass out. And my relationship with my ex-husband was very abusive. He was mentally, physically, and sexually abusive, and by no means do I think I'm a victim. I suited up, and I showed up for everything in my life. And I knew one thing, that if I pushed him hard enough, or he cheated on him enough, he'd get really pissed off. And he'd either hit me or lock me in a room and yell at me for 3 hours. And then he'd feel really bad for at least a week, and he'd leave me alone for a week so I could drink the way I wanted to. So I was willing to take a beating to drink the way I needed to drink. And so this night, he says to me, he said, if you're ever afraid of me, tonight's the night to be afraid of me, because I'm going to kill you. And I got to tell you, I seen something different in his eyes, and I knew he meant it. And he started strangling me again till I almost passed out, and he just fell off of me. And I got away, and I called the police, and he's locked up, and I'm a mess. You know what I mean? I'm a complete mess. And we own this restaurant, you know. We live in LaGrange, Georgia at the time, and I'm a mess, you know, and I have this restaurant to run. It's Christmas time. He's in jail. He has all this high bail because he has serious charges on him. Georgia, I don't know if anybody's ever been arrested in Georgia, but it's crazy. I've been arrested a couple times there. But but you know what's really cool about Georgia? Georgia has drive-through liquor stores. I love them, you know what I mean? You didn't even have to get out of your pajamas. You could jump in the car with your kids. You put them in the car seats with the dog and go through the drive-thru window. We get the biggest, cheapest plastic bottle of vodka, and they'd give the dog a bone and the kids a lollipop, and it was a family outing for me. I loved it, and I thought it was really cool. But anyway, so he has all this high bail, and the police called one day, and they said he was bailed out of jail. And I started thinking as I was drinking that day, and I started thinking, you know what my problem is? My problem is Georgia. I got to get back to Jersey. If I get back to Jersey, I'm going to be okay. So I got my little girls in the car, and I already had about 6 bottles of wine. I was already drunk, but I wanted to get a 100-proof bottle of vodka. So I stopped, and I got a 100-proof bottle of vodka, and I was going to pack up my car and the kids, and I was going to head off to Jersey. And what happened was I came to, and the police were there, and not only was my husband packing up his stuff, but he was packing up my little girl's stuff. And they said that my little girls were better off with him, who has, like, all kinds of serious charges, attempted murder, rape, and all kinds of stuff. My little girls were better off with him than a drunk as a mother. And I know it to be true. Because every single day I would endanger my little girls' lives. I put him in my car, and I'd drive in blackouts every day. And I'd run over railroad tracks and blow out the tires of my car, and I would hit trees. And my little girls were terrified each and every single day. And I got to tell you, I love my kids with all my heart and soul. And I always just wanted to be the best mom I could ever be. And every day I tried so hard. And if there was ever a human power that was ever going to get me sober, it would have been my little girls. And I knew that my husband had nowhere to go with those little girls, so I left. My favorite speaker, he's from California, and he talks about how he comes to on a bus with his little girl. And she's crying, and she's shaking, and she's holding her stomach. And he says to her, what's the matter, honey? And she says, Daddy, you forgot to feed me today. I'm so hungry. So when they get to a rest stop, he goes in and he gets a bottle of wine and he gets a sandwich. And when he gets up to the counter, he only has enough money for one. And he puts back her sandwich. And that's the kind of drunk I was. And I got to tell you, I love my little girls. And I knew he had nowhere to go, so I left and I toured through St. Petersburg, Florida. And it was like I was so relieved, like, thank God he's gone, you know what I mean? But also, thank God they're gone. So now I can drink, you know what I mean? I don't have to be distracted, you know, I can drink. And that's what I did, and I got to the point where I couldn't go 20 minutes without a drink. So if I went 20 minutes without a drink, I would shake so violently, and my head and my heart would attack me so bad that I wouldn't know what else to do but just to take a drink. And now I weigh 80 pounds, and I'm bruised from head to toe from falling, and I'm yellow. And I have long hair, and it's falling out, and I have bald patches all over my head, and I'm a mess, and I can't go 20 minutes without a drink. And I have nowhere to go. And I wound up going back to Georgia, and I wound up moving into this crack hotel. And I can't even work in the public with the condition I'm in because I can't even go 20 minutes without a drink. And I wound up doing things I never dreamed that I would ever do because that's not how I was raised. And every day was so hard for the things that I had to do for a bottle of vodka. And I just wanted to die because I couldn't believe where I wound up. And I was so tired, and I was so lonely. And the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, talks about the loneliness that only another alcoholic knows. And I missed my kids, and I couldn't believe where I was. And what happened was the alcohol stopped working. No matter how much I put in my system, it wouldn't stop my head anymore. And I couldn't sell my soul for one more bottle of vodka. I couldn't do it one more day. And what I did is I said a prayer to God. And I know there's a God because God's the only one I asked for help because I couldn't do it one more day. And I took a bottle of Tylenol PM and I drank whatever vodka I had left and I came to June 10th in 2002 in intensive care. My family flew in because they told my father he's going to have to take me home in a body bag. And eventually it came back that I had no damage whatsoever, no kidney, no liver damage, nothing. From there, they shipped me off to a mental hospital to detox me, not like a little psych ward, a whole hospital. I loved it there. It was my favorite part of being getting sober. And I wanted to live there forever, but they had a plan for me to come back to Jersey and go to this rehab. And when I could stop shaking long enough, they got me on a plane, they got me back to Jersey, and I got off the plane, right? And all the bloat was completely off me. You could see every single bone in my body. And I had the long hair with the bald patches. And my family's like looking at me like, oh my God, she's dying. And I'm thinking to myself, they are so jealous of me. I look like a model, you know what I mean? And I get to this rehab, right? And I have 7 days in this rehab because that's all my husband's insurance will cover. And I can't read and I can't write because I barely made it out of high school, you know? And I can't even think, and I can't hold a pencil because I'm still so shaky, you know what I mean? And I can't even, like, concentrate, and I'm terrified, you know? And they want me to do workbooks and worksheets, and I can't even hold a pencil, and I'm too embarrassed, like, to tell them, like, I don't know how to read and write. And so they're going to get me funded, and they take me up into the office, and they go through my workbooks and my worksheets, and nothing was completed. And they said I wasn't serious about recovery and that I needed to go. And I just started to cry because I had nowhere to go. And I never wanted to go back to where I was, and I never wanted to give away my kids and give away my soul ever again for a bottle of vodka. And I was willing to do whatever they wanted me to do. And what they wanted me to do is they wanted me to go to York, Pennsylvania, to a recovery house. Never heard of York, Pennsylvania. I don't even know what a recovery house is. But I was willing to go, you know? And I get to York, Pennsylvania, and I'm scared to death. Like, I lived in a lot of freaking places, but this is the first time I'm, like, sober by myself, and I walk into this house, right, and there's this girl who lives in this recovery house, and she's on the phone, right, and she stops talking, she takes one look at me, she gets back on the phone, she's like, oh my God, this one is a real doozy, I think she has wet brain. I don't even know what wet brain is, but I know I got it, you know what I mean? And I would show up to the meetings, and I didn't understand what you people were talking about. I felt like I've gone too far for the things that I did, and I'll probably never get better. And I didn't even understand what you were talking about, amends, resentment, stuff I never heard of, you know? And I come back home to the recovery house, and I'd say to her, I said, Joni, are you sure you have wet brain? She's like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have wet brain. She said, not only that, everybody in AA is talking about you. And I knew they were all, like, looking at me, right? She said, they're all calling you Skeletor, right? And I'm a mess, you know? So one of the rules of the house is you have to get a sponsor, do 90-90, get a home group, get a job, and all that stuff. And I'm willing to do whatever. But at the same time that all this was going on, there was this group of people from Baltimore, Maryland, that was coming into York, Pennsylvania with the big book, destroying AA, York AA, right? So you weren't allowed to get a big book sponsor. I was going to follow the rules. I wasn't going to get one of those people who were destroying AA, you know what I mean? And so my friend, a gangster, right, introduces me to this woman who says she's going to be my sponsor. And she doesn't use the big book, so I'm safe, you know what I mean? Thank you. And so I got to tell you, I'm a mess. Like, I guess I'm about 45 days sober, and I'm, like, completely out of my mind. I start thinking, I'm probably not even alcoholic. I'm probably just, like, crazy because I haven't drank, and I'm so nuts, you know what I mean? I'm, like, threatening this woman. I'm going to kill you, right? I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill the people in the recovery house, you know? I went to the store, and I went to the 15 item or less. They were questioning me on my items. I said, I'm going to kill them, too. You know what I mean? She's like, there's something. Like, you guys get it. She so did not get it, right? And so she said I was going to do the steps. I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? She said I was going to start doing this 4-step when it came to my sex conduct. Now, remind you, she's not a big book sponsor because the people from Baltimore were destroying York A with the big book, right? So she said, and I was following the rules, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to break no rules because I wanted to get this, right? And so she said when it came to my sex conduct, I had to write down every single person I've ever slept with. Can you imagine? Like, I'm a blackout drinker. You're naked and lived in a lot of states, but I'm, like, willing, you know what I mean? And I'm, like, trying to think, you know what I mean? And finally, I finally get a job. Someone finally hires me, right? And I'm working at this Denny's, and I'm like, I'm horrified. Like, I am horrified. Like, I am an alcoholic, and I live in a recovery house. I am never going to tell anybody that because I'm so embarrassed. You know what I mean? So I'm standing at the hostess station with one of the waitresses, right? And in walks this guy from Jersey. And I said to her, I said, oh, my God, I slept with him, and I didn't put him on the list. She's like, you keep a list? I was, like, horrified, right? So, and meanwhile, I'm a mess. I'm a complete freaking mess, right? So I get together with her to do this fifth step, right? And this is what she tells me. She told me that I've harmed nobody. She told me that I've harmed nobody. That the only person I've harmed was myself. And the reason I was the way I was is because I didn't bond with my mother. And somehow I knew that wasn't right. And I'm getting angrier by the day, you know what I mean? And I start thinking, well, it's probably the wet brain, you know what I mean? And And so she calls me up one day, right? And she says to me, she says, you know what, Patty? I think you have something different than me. I think you need to get a new sponsor. Thank God she did that, because she does have something different than me. She's a problem drinker. She stopped drinking and her life got better. I'm a real alcoholic. I stopped drinking and my life does not get better. Meanwhile, there's this woman, right? Who absolutely glowed, right? And she talked about, she felt like the scum of the earth her whole life, but she didn't feel that way anymore. And she didn't talk about the big book. She talked about the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Had no idea that they were the same thing, right? I swear to God. And she also talked about that she lived in Maryland. I had no idea that Baltimore was in Maryland. I swear to God, I'm not even lying. So I knew I was safe with her because I wasn't breaking any of the rules. You know what I mean? And so I went up and I asked this woman if she'd be my sponsor. And this is what she told me. I couldn't believe it, because now I'm about 60 days sober, and I'm telling you, I'm like ready to commit myself into the psych ward because I'm so freaking nuts, right? And this is what she tells me. She says, Patty, people have been telling you your whole life if you just stop drinking, you'd be okay. She said, and you stop drinking, and you are definitely not okay. That drinking has never been my problem. Drinking has always been my solution. Now that my solution stopped working, I needed a new solution, which is the 12 steps outlined in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she said, what I had was a spiritual malady, and what I needed was a spiritual solution. She said, everything in this world is going to come and go. The only thing everlasting is God. And she said, I better have a strong foundation. She told me I better have a love affair with God, because there will come a day that the only thing that comes between me and a drink is God. And she said, I better have a strong foundation. And she started taking me through the steps, you know, and this woman, like, she never shut up, you know what I mean? She's such a bitch. Like, she talked before the meeting, she talked after the meetings, you know what I mean? She never shut up. But I tell you one thing, half the time I didn't even know what she was talking about, but I could tell you one thing, I could absolutely feel her. And I thought, like, that other sponsor fired me because I had, because of the wet brain. When I celebrated a year sober, I asked her and I found out I didn't even have wet brain. But I didn't know it at the time. I still thought I had the wet brain, so I was doing everything she was telling me to do, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know, you know? Thank God, because I might not have went to the lengths I did, you know? But she told me, she said I was going to get up every morning, I was going to say that third step prayer, and I was going to help as many people as I could that day, and if I couldn't help them, I wasn't to hurt them. She said, next we're going to launch into a vigorous course of action and write a four step. I already did that. I'm not doing that, but I'll just humor her, you know what I mean? So I get up every morning, say the third step prayer, I go off to Denny's. I'm so helpful, they're giving me awards. I come back to the recovery house. I'm like the mother of the recovery house, you know, and I go off to the meetings, and I stick my hand out to somebody who has one day less than me. And I get back to that recovery house, and I throw myself on the kitchen floor, and I scream, and I cry, and I kick, because I wanted to drink so bad. And I couldn't sleep. I had drunk dream after drunk dream after drunk dream. And I called her up. I said, this ain't working. I'm doing everything you're telling me to do. Meanwhile, I'm not. But in my mind, I am. I said, and I want to drink so bad. And, you know, and I miss my kids, because it's a long time since I've seen my kids. I miss my kids so much. And I don't understand. How come I can't even just hug my kids for 5 minutes? And she said, Patty, you don't have to physically hug your kids. God can hug them for you, and I want you to pray about that tonight. And so that's what I did. I went home, and I said a prayer, and I fell asleep, and I didn't have a drunk dream. I had a dream that I walked into a room, and all three of my daughters were there, and I could feel them hug me. And then somehow, I don't even know how, even to this day, somehow my middle daughter got my phone number, and she called me. And I told her about my dream, and she said, oh, my God, Mom, I had the same dream. So if God can bring me and my daughters together in our dreams, God could do anything. And I tell you, that obsession was lifted, and I did a fourth and fifth step out of the big book. I couldn't freaking believe I was the problem. I had no idea, you know what I mean? I was shocked, you know what I mean? I was amazed. I really thought it was the husband, you know what I mean? I couldn't believe I was the problem, right? And thank God this woman didn't like point out all that stuff to me, because I already felt like the worst person in the world. And this is what she told me. She said, Patty, the things that you did when you were out there doesn't make you who you are. They're just things that you did. She said, I probably needed to do everything and drink everything that I did when I was out there. So when I get to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, all those dirty, disgusting things I thought when I did when I was out there were going to be my biggest gifts to help other women. She's absolutely right. I do not regret my past. Maybe the husbands, but I don't regret my past. I get to help hundreds of women, you know. She sent me home to do 6 and 7. I took that hour to review the first 5 proposals, making sure I left nothing out. You know what I mean? My head was quiet, like for the first time, like when I was 14 years old, even though it was only a few minutes, right? At this time, the state of Georgia's looking for me. I totaled a truck off a car lot that the mayor owned of Georgia, right? So they were looking for me for my 5th DUI. And my sponsor said, you know, so it looked like I was going to go to jail for like a couple years. And she said, we really need to get you moving through the steps and get you through a lot of your amends before you go to jail. So when you go to jail, you'll be spiritually fit so you can carry this message in jail. And she said, we're going to send you back to Jersey. We're going to send you back to the closest state to make some of these amends. And I was willing to go, and I couldn't wait to get to Jersey to make amends to my father. My father's my hero. He's fabulous. He was drunk. He was funny. He was sarcastic. I loved him. You know what I mean? And I couldn't wait to get to Jersey to make amends with my dad. And my father knows I'm coming. My family knows I'm coming. And I get to Jersey, and my father's not answering his phone. So I get in touch with my brother and my sister, and they said that my father had a stroke that morning. And he was paralyzed, and he was in critical condition, and he couldn't even speak. So I call my sponsor up. I said, it looks like I can't make that one. She's like, oh, yes, you can. You're going to ask everybody to leave the room. You're not going to tell them you're sorry. You've been sorry your whole life. You're going to tell them you're wrong. And so that's what I did. And my dad started to cry. And I said, Dad, you know what? There's a good chance I'll never be that person ever again if I continue doing the things that I'm doing. And my dad did manage to say the words, I love you. And he died about a week later. So my dad got to see me sober before he died. I got to make amends with both those ex-husbands. And my second, I was still married. My sponsor like made me act like a married woman, which I did. And when I got together with them, my second husband told me, he said, you know what, Patty? I really was going to kill you that night. The only reason I didn't kill you that night is because a bright white light came and hit me in the head and knocked me off of you. And I thought God the whole time was so far out there. And the whole time I've always been in the palm of God's hands. And my friend Barb, she took me to Georgia to go in front of this judge who had whose daughter was killed a year earlier by a drunk driver. And the mayor's mother, who owned that car lot, his mother was killed 10 years earlier by a drunk driver. And my grand sponsor, he said, Patty, the judge, the lawyers, the prosecutor, none of those people are in charge. God's in charge. And I knew God was in charge by this time. And he said, if you're supposed to go to jail, that's where you'll carry that message. And I went in front of that judge, and she gave me 24 hours in jail. You know, they took me off in my little court suit that my sponsor bought me, took me off in handcuffs, unhandcuffed me before they put me into a holding cell with a prisoner. The prisoner thought I was like a lawyer coming to help her. I'm like, I'm going to jail with you, sister, you know what I mean? So I spent 24 hours in jail. You know, I talked about the 12 steps of God in the big book. Back to York, Pennsylvania, I was through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I tell you, I was on fire. Now that I was sober in York, Pennsylvania, people were going to get sober there now, let me tell you. And so what I did is I was ripping homeless people. I swear, I'm ripping homeless people up off the streets. You know what I mean? I do women's community service in the homeless shelter. I had them on their knees in the parking lot doing the third step prayer because people are going to get sober in York, Pennsylvania, right? And I got this apartment, right? And it had really high ceilings because it used to be a storefront. And I got lumber, and I was going to build a loft, and I was going to start stacking the drunks, right? And what happened is nobody stayed sober but me. I made so many mistakes, right? But I learned how to effectively sponsor people by making so many mistakes. It was freaking awesome, right? But I'm like Miss AA now, right? I am Miss AA. Like I'm sponsoring so many people. Like the recovery houses are banning me from sponsoring any more people. I'm not even kidding. Like I'm speaking all over. I'm banned. Like I don't even know half their names. You know what I mean? I don't even know what step. Like it was ridiculous. But what's going on, really? What's really going on is that I'm so spiritually sick, and I can't even tell anybody because I'm Miss AA, and how can you possibly tell anybody that you're dying spiritually when you're running around acting like Miss AA, you know what I mean? So I had this breakup, right, with the only love I ever had, you know what I mean? And I run. And I run to St. Petersburg, Florida. They should have a sign that says this state doesn't work either, right? But I go there all the time, right? And so I get to St. Petersburg, Florida, and everybody I sponsor is back in New York. My sponsor, he's back in Baltimore. And for the first time, I'm by myself. Well, not for the first time, but I feel exactly the way I did when I first got sober. My head's attacking me, and I'm walking the beach, and I'm praying. And then I start thinking, you know what I think I really need? I think I probably need, like, a new boyfriend. Like, what I really need is, like a fabulous, manly man, biker, fabulous, powerful speaker. That's what I need. So now I'm telling God what I need. Like, I need this biker boyfriend, right? A week before I moved to St. Petersburg, this guy from Cleveland, Ohio, the mecca of AA, moves there, right? And he's freaking powerful. And he calls me up one day. And I've been there about a year. And so what I do is I know how to pass this on, right? So what I do is I get to Florida and I start taking over Florida. Like, I took over 5 meetings, you know what I mean? I helped start an Acts of Recovery. I joined a committee, and like, I'm like nuts, you know what I mean? But I tell you, one thing, nothing will assure immunity against drinking is intensive work with others, because that's what I did. These people are like, where did she come from, right? So this guy moved there a week before I did from Cleveland, Ohio, and he calls me up and he says, Patty, do you want to go for a ride on my Harley? And I'm thinking, I am God's favorite. I am absolutely God's favorite. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I want to go for a ride on your Harley. You're damn right I do. You know, so I meet him, right? I get on this big Harley with this big biker, right? We're going over the bridges with the moonlight and the palm trees and my hair blowing in the wind because you don't need to wear a helmet there. And we get, and I'm thinking, oh my God, God loves me the best, right? So we get all the way down to the beach, right? And he says to me, he says, you want to get pizza? Pizza, absolutely, without a doubt, is my favorite food. I immediately think it's a sign from God, right? So we get into the pizza place, and he grabs my hands, and he's holding my hands, and he's looking me lovingly in the eyes. And he says to me, he says, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's, like, probably going to ask me to marry him, you know what I mean? And this is what he says to me. He says, Patty Burke, I've been watching you in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you're so busy, you're absolutely dying. And he tore apart the third step, and he showed me how I was still playing God, and I had to stop. Why? Because it didn't work. And he showed me how I was still making decisions based on self that I later put me in the position to be harmed. And I wasn't in charge of those, the ex-boyfriends, the ex-husbands, the girls I used to sponsor. I wasn't in charge of any of those people, and I had to stop it. And he started asking me about 10. Was I really doing 10? Never. I was making you do 10, you know what I mean? But I really wasn't doing 10. And I always pray, but was it really meditating? Absolutely not. And I really started doing all 12 steps. I really did. And he wound up taking me back through the steps. And you know what I think is so powerful? Like, God answers all our prayers. Like, God loves us so much. He loves me more, but he loves us so much, right? That he answers all our prayers, right? And God did not send that guy there to be my AA boyfriend. God sent him there to 12-step me, knowing that I wouldn't hear from anybody else. And he took me back through the steps. And when we got to the sex conduct, I seen how I was still doing the same behaviors at the age of 14 to the age of 40, you know, and that I had to stop it. And it's really the 12 steps of God that loves me the best and great sponsorship. What Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is a brand new life, not a patched up old life. Thanks for allowing me to share.